Portfolio Committee of Public Enterprises meeting, and we are supposed to be having presentation on the status update on SAA by the ministry, the department. Would like to, before we start our session, to welcome all the members of this committee. You are all welcome, honorable members, and we also would like to welcome our guests, the ministry and the Department of Public Enterprise, including, of course, the SAA. I think it's an acting CEO, and we welcome all everybody that has been invited and attended this session. Without wasting our time, I only have one two apologies from my side. Is Honorable Deputy Minister, who has having other responsibilities to attend to, including Honorable Mkhwanazi, who is currently at hospital. We wish her to speedily recover. I think Mr. The Secretary of this committee, can you take us through if there is any other apologies that you have at your disposal?
Good morning, Chair and honorable members and guests. The only apology I received is from Mr. Kwankwa, who will not be able to join us this morning. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Mutshumi. And the Minister, I hope you already logged in.
Sorry, Chairperson?
Hello.
Yes, Honorable Tshabalala here. My humble apologies. On the apology, I have an apology this morning from Honorable Mkhwanazi. She's been pulled to hospital. She's not feeling well, so I thought, let me put it up on hands that she did also forward to yourself. Perhaps you might not have seen it. Thank you.
That's why it's one of the apologies that I've indicated when I started. I've already made that apology, Honorable Tshabalala. Thank you so much. Honorable Minister, will have, as we traditionally do, allow you to provide the leadership from your side by giving your overview before we allow any other person, including your team, to make a presentation. I see the minister is supposed to be here. Oh, he went out again. Okay, I think while the minister is still experiencing connection problem, I think he's experiencing some connection problem. Is the SAA already here and the DG is here?
Chair, correction, it's actually the acting DG, Advocate Makobe, and Noni Mashika from the department side, and we are led by the minister. As soon as he reconnects, we should be good to go.
Okay.
Yes.
For now, the minister is still experiencing connection problems. And the team is led by the acting DG.
Yes, Advocate Makobe. He's
okay. Okay. Let us see.
Good morning, Chairperson. I've just received a message from the minister who's having problems, and he's asking that we proceed. He will join us. Yes.
If that is the case, then take the podium, acting DG.
All right, I'll ask that the presentation be displayed on screen. I don't have the hosting rights, then we can take the committee through the presentation.
Mr. Makobe, Chair? Makobe, I've made you a co-host, so you should be able to present it.
Okay. Okay, I think we can proceed now. The presentation will look at the following issues. We will look at the process update of the business rescue process, and which process has been finalized by the exit of the business rescue practitioners. We will look at the status of the subsidiaries. We'll further look at the funding for SAA and the subsidiaries of SAA. We would look at the funding of the subsidiaries. We'll further look at the special appropriation bill for funding of subsidiaries, the bill which is before Parliament at the moment. We will look at the actual expenditure, what SAA has spent on the 10.5 billion that has been allocated to it. We will look at the market overview, so that we can check who has the biggest market share, where Mango features in and where SAA can feature. We will look at the resumption of operations, what needs to be done for the operations to resume. We will also look at cargo and what SAA is doing with regard to cargo. We will further look at the strategic equity partner process and give the committee an update as to how far we are with that process. If we move to slide 3, SAA exited the business rescue process on 30 April 2021, and the business rescue practitioners, as they are required in terms of the Companies Act, have filed what is called a notice of substantial implementation. So once that notice is filed, then the company exits the business rescue process. Now, to enable the smooth exit of SAA from the business rescue process, there is a mechanism that was established, which is called a receivership. And the two receivers were appointed by the creditors. Now, the receivership is a mechanism that was adopted so that it doesn't take us 3 years to be in the business rescue process. But for the settlement of outstanding liabilities, this mechanism is being used for that basis. So the receivers will manage the settlement of the outstanding liabilities over the period of the next 3 years, as I indicated. And those liabilities relate to concurrent creditors. Those are aircraft lessors, and also the liability on unflown ticket. I'll give details as we move with the presentation in terms of what would be required for the receivership. If we move to the next slide, as the business rescue practitioners have exited, they then handed over the business to the interim board and the executive management of SAA. And both the board and the management are charged to focus on the following three issues. Firstly, they must develop a business plan to sustain the operation of SAA, because we're anticipating that SAA must still operate and also to take to the skies in the near future, while the department is finalizing a process to acquire a strategic equity partner. Later in the presentation, we'll give an update on where the strategic equity partner process is. Secondly, the board and the management are finalizing the legal issues, which include legal disputes with the labor unions, especially the pilots. There are matters that are before court with the pilots. Also matters relating to the termination of the regulating agreement, the Section 189 process and the voluntary severance packages for the pilots. So the management and the board assist with those matters, and also to develop a plan for the resumption of flight operations of FAA. If we move to the next slide, we are looking at the status of the subsidiaries. The subsidiaries of FAA were not placed under business rescue. Although FAA, the company, was placed under business rescue, the subsidiaries were not. But however, the placing of FAA under business rescue had a negative impact on the financial position of the subsidiaries. Actually, if you look at the business rescue plan, it does recognize the fact that the deteriorating financial position of subsidiaries will have an impact on the business rescue plan. It also indicates that for this business rescue plan to be successful, the financial viability of subsidiaries must be ensured. Actual fact, the plan states that the capitalization of subsidiaries is critical to ensure that they are financially stable post the implementation of the plan. And that takes me to the next point, which deals with the funding for FAA and the subsidiaries. And I think it is very critical, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, to actually clarify the fact that the $12.5 billion that was approved for the funding of FAA includes $2.7 billion for the recapitalization of the subsidiaries. And as you can see from the first table there, the $10.5 billion is made of employee-related payments, post-BR creditors, working capital and interim flying, including the recapitalization of subsidiary companies. So it's quite incorrect and quite a myth to say that the subsidiaries are coming through a big door to get funding from the $10.5 billion. As clearly you can see from the table, that the capitalization of subsidiaries have always been part of the approved budget for SAA. So the $3.5 billion that will be required over the period of 3 years will be administered through the receivership. And as I indicated earlier, the amounts will be utilized to honor the unflown ticket liability and to pay for the concurrent creditors, including aircraft lessors. So you can see from that table, it's not required immediately, it will be required over a period of 3 years. If we move to the next slide, it's just to give you an indication of the state of the subsidiaries of FAA. The interim board and management are these undertaking a process of the restructuring of the subsidiaries of FAA. If we start by South African Airways Technical, there is a need to right-size this business. There's been an issue of the payment of salaries in SAA Technical, which were paid partially. But also, SAAT has operational challenges, which affect its maintenance responsibility. And you can see those challenges also have a ripple effect on Mango, because most of the Mango aircraft are on the ground instead of being on the air because of maintenance issues. And that's why it's critical for the board to finalize the restructuring of these subsidiaries and also for Parliament to finalize the process of appropriation to capitalize these subsidiaries. If we look at Mango, Mango has not been immune from the impact of COVID-19, and its market share has decreased as a result of that. We will see later in the presentation that they are on about 16% of the market share. So we'll look at the issue of the market share later. But also there are operational challenges at Mango, because most of the aircraft have technical problems because they are on the ground as opposed to have metal on the air. And that has impacted Mango as a result. And that's why this capitalization of Mango is critical to ensure that it's sustainable going forward. If we move to Air Chefs, which is one of the subsidiaries of SAA, has not been able to provide any service due to the fact that the majority of the business of Air Chefs comes from SAA. And as SAA has not been operating, Air Chefs has not been able to provide that service. But furthermore, the COVID regulations on saving of meals in flight has negatively impacted Air Chefs, because basically there's just no business there. So, and also new customers have been lost due to the inability to provide those services. Now, with regard to the subsidiaries, the board is finalizing the process of the structuring of the subsidiaries. And once the appropriation bill is processed in parliament, it will make sure that funding is available to restructure these subsidiaries. If we move to the next point, I think that's what the point I've just made, that the special appropriation bill is before parliament and will enable the flow of the 2.7 billion that has been allocated to the subsidiaries. This is not new money. It's money that has been allocated as part of the 10.5 billion. If we move further on the actual expenditure based on the 10.5 billion that has been allocated through the 2022 adjustment appropriation, the amount of 7.8 billion was transferred to SAA, and the following amounts were utilized to date. 2 billion has been paid to the employees for their voluntary severance packages and also to pay their outstanding salaries, if we have had the settlement of 3 months of the outstanding salaries. The 600 million has been paid to the post-commencement creditors, and 800 million has been paid for the unflown ticket liability. If we move to the next slide, we are looking at the market overview of the domestic market. As I said earlier, the airline industry has been impacted by COVID-19. The third wave is expected to slightly slow down passenger demand, but there are other airlines that are filling the gap that has been left by SAA. There are also some new entrants into the market that are trying to enter and get the market share. So that's why it's very critical that SAA resumes operation and put metal on air so that we don't lose the market share totally. If you look at that graph, it indicates where the market share is. As you can see, Fly South Air has a majority of the market share, you know, followed by Kulula. Mango is on about 16% of on average. That's why it's critical for SAA also to enter and take some of the market share. So what has been done by SAA to make sure that the operations resume? Firstly, the board and management are ensuring that there is regulatory compliance with civil aviation regulations. This is to ensure that the safety and security requirements are adhered to. SAA is known to be a very safe airline, so it's very critical that we maintain that record of safety. But also the board is finalizing what is called the market reentry strategy on how to enter the market. And they've got to look at issues like pricing. They've got to look at issues like product development and the route networks in terms of which route to operate. But also critically, as you have seen, as I was presenting on the subsidiaries, that there is a lot of interdependence between SAA and the subsidiaries. So that alignment is critical as SAA resumes operation. For example, to make sure that SAA Technical is able to do the maintenance work as SAA takes to the skies. But obviously the resumption of operations is really dependent on a lot of factors, including COVID-19 and now the third wave that we are in. If we look at cargo update, the volumes for cargo are very strong, even during this time of the pandemic. There are a lot of opportunities, especially on the transportation of the vaccines. And as you can see from IATA, there's actually capacity shortage in this market. And as a result, SAA must take advantage of this market opportunities. The board currently is reviewing the cargo strategy to ensure that there is expansion, but there's also need for investment, especially in infrastructure and IT system to support the new model. So there is a lot of work being done by the board in this regard to make sure that we take advantage of this opportunity. Now, with regard to the strategic equity partner, the department is in final discussions with the SEP. The parties are conducting what is called due diligence, which is very normal in this kind of transactions. And the process may be finalized in the next 4 to 6 weeks. And once the process is finalized, an announcement on who the preferred successful strategic equity partner will be made. Thank you, Chairperson. That is the end of our presentation on the update on SA.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Acting DG. Minister, I think you're back.
Yes, Chairperson, good morning to you. My apologies, there was a technical glitch earlier on. So good morning to you and the honorable members and others that are on this call. I think Mr. Makobe has given an overview of where SAA stands, and hopefully within the next few weeks, we'll have further announcements in relation to the further progress in relation to SAA, given the kind of overview that Mr. Makobe has actually provided. So let me avail myself to any questions, comments, or contributions that the honorable members might have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Minister. Honorable members, can we get contributions?
Chair, Honorable Piri. Hello.
The chair is muted, but we can hear you, Honorable Piri.
Oh.
Sorry. I'm muted. Is Honorable Piri in?
Yes.
Continue.
I'm in, Chair. Can I proceed? Greetings to colleagues, the minister, and all who are in the platform. Let me welcome the presentation that is so straight to the point and very clear. Chair, I don't have much questions, but let me start by welcoming the exit of the BRPs and really also applaud the department together with the interim board or the even the executive team that is in charge now to say we are starting to see the light of the day. There's hope for South Africans to see we're going to have back our pride, the airline. I think it is important for all of us to welcome and applaud the much work that they've done, and also not to also deal with the fact that there were other people inside the country or even members of parliament who thought while we were requesting for the 10.5 billion is just a waste of time. But I believe that we are given the opportunity to discharge the work, will do the best. I wanted to compliment and say we can see you are going in the right direction. But let me go back to a question or have a question to those who are in charge, the interim board and the executive management team, together with the department. Minister, with your team, as we are in the you are in the process of restarting, what are your plans in terms of the route that you're going to take? Are you still going to operate in the same route as you were operating before, even in terms of the fleet? Which airlines are we going to use, or Airbuses? Are you still going to lease or you have a plan to buy? It is very much important for us to understand whether the new airline that you're going to start flying in the next few months, which fleet are you going to use and the route. At the same time, Minister, directly to yourself, how good is the relationship between yourself and the Transport Minister in terms of the route and the issuing of permits of the flight or of the new airlines? Because as government, we believe that priority must be given to the pride of the South Africans, which is SAA. And if they keep on issuing new licensing to the other airlines that wants to venture into the business, how does it hamper the operation of the SAA? Strategically, the presentation is very clear in terms of the strategic equity partner. When are you going to tell us who is the strategic partner? But then the process, do you really guarantee us in the next 4 to 6 weeks you'll be announcing, or is it going to drag? Because we've been waiting for so long as South Africans, as members of parliament, to have this thing to kick start and start operating commercially. Lastly, Chair, I'll go to the issue of the unions. We have been observing, or we have a report that NUMSA and SACA has taken to us to court, as I mean the SOE. I wanted to check how far with the severance package across all unions. And did you finalize when are you going to pay them, or have they been paid? How far with that process? Before we could start with a new airline, have we made it a point that we have settled, especially in terms of employees, those who are supposed to be given what is due to them? At the same time, how many employees are you going to carry into the new airline when we start taking off with the new airline? Chair, let me pause there. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Piri. Honorable Kachalia.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the 3-minute presentation and the 30-second input from the Minister on this very important issue. I'm keen to understand that if, as I understand it from experts, it would take 4 to 5 years of loss-making before this new venture approaches profitability, and given that the 2.7 billion is going to be appropriated, is going to be bundled to finance the new SAA, will the subsidiaries be part of it, and how will they be part of it? Secondly, the remaining 0.8 billion, will it cover all outstanding liabilities, and how are losses going to be going forward going to be financed? Thirdly, in terms of costs, forward costs, what fuel price will we be contracting at? Will this involve a BE premium? And I want to address the issue of routes. Formerly, there were 30 routes that were covered. Only 8 will be profitable. Which routes are going to be covered? And how is this going to be met? In terms of the strategic equity partner, in the past, only Ethiopian Airlines has expressed operational and not financial interest. How has this changed? What are the terms and conditions of the new, which we've heard so much about but have no more data on the new strategic equity partner? I thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Maoto.
Thank you very much, Chair.
And let me start by sending my hugs and kisses to Honorable Mkhwanazi and wish her a speedy recovery. And we hope that she'll be out of hospital sooner than we think. So, Chair, I've listened to the presentation, but it appears as if we are surprised about the poor performance of subsidiaries after the collapse of SAA. We should have anticipated that. And in actual fact, the BRP should have had a full presentation on what will be the impact of grounding of SAA on the subsidiaries. So we should not be a surprise. That's one. Because now we're talking about how do we almost rescue Mango. I know you're using the word capitalization of Mango, but I know it's going there. So very soon we'll be talking about how are we going to rescue Mango. And it should not have been the case if we had thought and given a thorough thought in terms of the future of all the subsidiaries of SAA. And I want to understand the continued loss of revenue in HF and how is that impacting anything? Because there's no, unless if there are services that have been rendered by HF now, we must be told. There are no services that have been rendered. So there's no food that has been given. So HF is not buying any food. So what loss are we talking about? It's more than a year that we had COVID. And have we been planning to give people food and have we been buying food that is being stored and getting rotten, or what exactly is happening? Why are we hearing this? Now, in terms of the 7.8 billion SAA restructuring, the presenter only reported on 2 billion of the VSPs, the 600 million post-commencement and the 800. When you add that, it adds up to 3.4 billion. So what happened to the 4.4 billion? Because it's not been spoken about. I'm using my words very carefully. I'm not saying it's not being accounted for. I'm saying it's not being spoken or reported about. So can we understand what happened to the 4.4 billion? And with what the presenter was saying, he's trying to push for the resumption of services of SAA. But the question is, what will be different this time around? Shouldn't we be waiting for the SEP to be finalized and then allow the new entity then to come up with a strategy of how they are going to start the services? Or shouldn't even that be in the contractual obligations of the two entities, the now SAA and the SEP? Why are we now talking? Are we already ahead of them? We've not yet appointed an SEP, but we are already talking about the resumption. How do we know what SEP is going to look like and what will be their strategy going forward? Because we are told that SEP process will be finalized in the next 4 to 6 weeks. So I hope that we are not acting on their behalf, because this is going to be a new SAA and it should be taking its own shape. And lastly, Chair, are we still paying for the lease or the rental of aircraft? And if so, how much are you paying per month? And if it's a contractual obligation that we pay them, until when? When is the contract ending? And that will be all from my side, Chair President. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Dlamini.
So thanks, Chair. I think the one concern I have is with the grounding of Mango and the reasons being given that there are technical issues with the aeroplane. What does that mean in terms of the new airline? If we have technical problems, is it because employees have not been paid, they are not working? Are we not able to deal with the technical challenges? Are we running short of space? What's the nature of the problem in terms of the technical side of things? That's the one question I have. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Clark.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just bear with me because we have load shedding and I've only been able to connect on my cell phone to participate. if I could just ask, the restructuring of SA Airways technical side to the right size business, has this been done and is SAA Technical able to continue with its services in terms of its business viability? Just in terms of Mango, could we also just be informed, because according to reports, Mango is reporting that they won't be able to fly as of from the 1st of June because of their financial status. Is that being resolved and will Mango be able to continue with their flights as normal? Also in terms of AirChef, I mean, has AirChef looked at any other business models? Because if you look at the way SA Airlink is dealing with serving their meals, they give you a meal in a box that you can take home. And I think that's how whoever's supplying them is able to sustain its business. Could you please tell me who the owners of Skylink Airways are? And are they one of the partners that are being considered as an equity partner? How far are the resolutions in terms of the pilot? And what is the current status quo? Because of SAA is anticipating to fly in the near future, obviously that needs to be sorted out. Also, SAA, when they start practicing again, would they also enter into the market as a cargo service? Who would SAA use as a third party capacity supply, and are there any current negotiations around this? How would the investment in infrastructure and IT systems be dealt with to support the new business model, and what costs and time frames are around that? And you know, the presentation speaks about 30 shortlisted equity partners that they were considering. You know, I really think in terms of transparency, this should be shared with the committee. And then could we please have a breakdown as exactly how much the business rescue cost and what the funds, what funds were spent, and give us a complete breakdown in terms of that. I think that's all. Thanks, Chair.
Okay.
Sorry, Chair, there's just one clarity-seeking question I also would like to know. In the presentation, it says creditors and aircraft lease. Does that cost form part of the business rescue, or is that an additional cost that SAA would have to bear going forward? Thank you.
I hope they catch up your question. Cutting in between when you were speaking, but can we get the Honourable Buthelezi? Honourable Buthelezi, is not here. Honourable Malinga.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to yourself, the members of the Portfolio Committee, the Minister, and the officials of the department, also the committee staff. Chairperson, let me welcome the presentation as outlined by the Acting DG. And say that Honorable Piri has covered me in most of the questions, Chair, and utterances made here. Chairperson, my only concern is the bullet five on status of subsidiaries. where it says success of business rescue plans is dependent on financial viability of subsidiaries. My understanding of a BRP's share is to ensure that the business is viable. So why would they be dependent on the viability, the financial viability of subsidiaries? That's where my confusion is, Chair. And Chair, to also implore the executive to look into these BRPs, because to me, BRPs are not giving the results, the desired outcomes or results that we want, because you can hear from the term rescue. But with SAA, with all the challenges that we are still facing, it means the people that were there did not assist to ensure that SAA becomes the best airline. And Chair, we can't give away our SAA. It's our national airline. I think maybe Nathi, as members of parliament, I don't know if this can be imposed on us, that when this takes off, all members, all 400 of us, for SAA to make money. All 400 of us, we must use SAA. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Malinga. Honorable Shabalala.
Thank you so much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. Let me greet members of parliament, the minister and the acting DG and also other officials. Look, for me, I think the presentation really covers what has been looked at, resumption of the airline, strategic equity partner. Let me just hold it on the strategic equity partner. Minister, on this one, as much as there is shortlisting of that, and you would have some sort of at least, you know, a decision around that part, I want to know what are the agreements that we are having as government with the strategic equity partner? Is there specific matters that we want to put as the government around this one as a shareholder, specifically in the wake of our huge unemployment? And we know what are the priorities of government is according to our NDP and the Vision 2030. As we move to the new airline, the type of a partner, are they going to be dedicated as well, so that they're not just only concentrated on the profit thereof, but around their social responsibility? Are we going to see that? Because we know they're more interested, obviously, in their share, but I'm more interested into what are the agreements that we're looking into with the specific certain strategic equity partner moving forward. We need to get how negotiations are with the pilots association with respect to the severance packages. If we can just get an update, but we did hear what it has been the discussion, how many has been paid and so forth, just to get the outstanding at this point. Minister, the airline should also, you know, we need to get some sort of, as a committee around all these unions and the employees that have been finalized and which ones have not been finalized. We might not get the spreadsheet now because I think I'm asking for a comprehensive report besides what has been presented so that we can get an understanding how many would you be able to take on and this type of skills you'll be able to retain in the new airline. The social plans really and the reskilling as well of these retrenched employees. I'm more interested around that if we can get perhaps a sort of an understanding around that. Can we get the details of the regulating agreement with the airline really moving forward, and the information around the demands being made by SAPA? The airline should also be in a position to the issue of the funding received by government. that we've been able to use. If we can get a breakdown of these funds, should be given. Look, Minister, the business rescue practitioner, Honorable Thokozile Malinga, has really covered the bed, but I want to take it further. To say, as the committee, and this goes to the committee, I think as much as we are doing lessons learned from the previous experience, I think we need to call business rescue practitioners and really have a conversation with them. What are the lessons learned? But in terms of the plans that they would have given us, did we really get value for money? And I'll keep on stressing this part, because we can't be in a position to say we've paid about 7.8 to the business rescue practitioners. However, we need to know exactly what did they use the money for. If it's consultants, what were the consultants for? So that we're able to trace the money as well as government. And this doesn't necessarily lie in the hands of the ministry, really, from where I am. And I think that it's something that we need to be in a position to be able to put these things across for what they are. But just in my closing, I think this is our project as this portfolio committee. We can safely pride ourselves really for taking on the mandate to say we needed to save. And this is what the comments of Honorable Piri is, the national flag carrier. What's important is to understand that what are we going to do around the issues of the small market moving forward, and the issue of the licenses and international licenses. What are we looking at, Minister, moving forward? But all the best. We'll be really looking forward to the business, to the business really taking off in the few months to come, and be able to support and tie down in terms of treasury, ensuring that public servants do all of them utilize SAA to fly, and we take opportunity with the issue of the transportation of the vaccines. I thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Shabalala. Before I give you, Minister and the team, just a few clarities. I just want just to be made clear as to when. Sorry?
I've been forgotten.
Oh, certainly, of course. Of course, Honorable Gumede, my sincere apology. You are really forgotten. I don't want to lie to you. I'm sorry. Can you come in, sir? Honorable Gumede?
He must not be forgotten in heaven.
Hey, I'll prefer to be forgotten in heaven, because I won't quickly die. Che, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah.
My apology.
No, Chair, I accept your apology. It's only that I can't be left out in this gigantic kind of gains that we have in fact achieved. Chair, let me say, you know, we need to give credit where it is due. I firmly believe that this is in fact from our side a learning process. We came in, all the SOEs were in tatters, crumbling, collapsing, and whatever. And SAA is the one that has gone the distance. It has gone to the extent that it was almost liquidated completely, were it not the intervention that it goes the business rescue option. Chair, I'm sorry as well that because out of excitement, I have not even greeted anyone. Good morning to everyone, Minister, hi, and all other members. But Chair, I want to say, the presentation given, in fact, it's very good. It's a plan in itself, only if it can be given the kind of time frames for us so that we're in a very good position to monitor progress. It's very good, and the presentation was very specific. It addresses, as many others have said, including Shabalala and Carol have said, you know, a presentation that in fact ties DA not to wonder what exactly are going to ask questions for. You must understand that the presentation was good. So, Chair, I want to say, let's make sure, you know, we can talk arithmetics. The arithmetics tells us, as Maudwe asked, that the money that is not accounted for is 4.4. That's why at one stage we were suggesting that all questions asked, can we get them in writing, the answers, so that at least we're in a position to hold officials in this matter accountable out of the response that they would have given us. I know it's difficult that off the cuff you tell us what the 4.4 in fact has been used for. Because the question that I wanted to ask, that you've got the board, you've got the, especially the executives that are there, CFO as well as the CEO. I want to believe that they are being remunerated. Where are they getting perhaps that remuneration from? The other critical question, Chair, as much as I think this question has been asked as well, how much the BRFP cost us? So those are the things that, in fact, we want to find out from this. And we want as well to know the COVID strategy. What's the COVID strategy do we have? Because it has impacted. As we want to go in there, are we ready to face the COVID situation? I'm suspecting as well, Chair, I just need to be corrected, that you hear the Airlink announcing that in 2022, they will be taking over the gap by SAA. Isn't that the delay that we take off deliberate, in the sense that those that in fact may have powers to decide, they want to kind of sideline us and bring perhaps the Skylink or any other perhaps flight that in fact may want to take over? But Chair, let me contribute on this. There are a few things. The questions we have asked are just the punching holes. In fact, they will help us then close those gaps, and then we have a very good program. Chair? Oh, shit.
I don't know what happened to Honorable Gumede.
It's my electricity,
but
Chair.
I think you also,
Chair.
Honorable Gumede.
Chair.
Yeah.
Can I quickly round up?
You have to mind your language too. Okay.
Hmm? Oh yes, yes. It's because of this electricity. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Finalize the restructuring, because everything we're talking currently is interim. Address the outstanding core issues. I'm differentiating that from the issues that I'm saying are peripheral issues. Core issues being those issues or matters that will make us take off. And peripheral, yes, we've got those issues, but they may not have that much of an impact from perhaps taking off. Concretize the equity partner. I know that you are saying that it's 4 to 6 weeks, but it's quite clear that it may take a little bit longer when we reconcile issues. Concretize the financial strategy. We are saying if you calculate that it's a 4.4, but when these things happen, we may need more than that. And the minister is very much clear that he's not going to assist us. We finalize, concretize the strategy, equity strategy partner, and all those things will help us. Serious talks as well with Treasury. I think that will help us. I want to believe it's correct. The 2.7 is accounted for. So if we engage with Treasury, that in fact will help us. Get perhaps SAA be flying. I think that will help us. In the words of the Honorable Shabalala, I want to suggest as well that let's have regular meetings so that we monitor whatever is taking place. Otherwise, Chair, I'm sorry, my electricity is gone and I'm not sure whether I've been properly heard and my contribution is accepted. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Madam. I'm getting an indication from Honorable Shabalala that she missed one point. Had a point on what she said. Can you come again quickly?
Thank you so much for indulgence, Chairperson. On the subsidiaries, can we get just an update, Chair, on restructuring, just the timelines? The acting DG just mentioned that there will be restructuring. Can we get the timelines? Because this is what led to us to find ourselves in BRPs, of which it's something that we could have done, and we don't find ourselves in that situation. The Express Airways is in liquidation, Minister, due to that operational and financial challenges over a number of years, despite this financial support from government. And the airline was unable to resolve the challenges, obviously, and it was placed under the risk business rescue and FAB, but was also unable to restructure, leading to it being placed under provincial liquidation in April 2020. So I need to know, by October 2020, an interested buyer was identified. However, the identified party could not come up with the acquisition funding, and the process was expected to be concluded by the end of 2020-21. I just want to find out where are we around that. I know I'm just putting it under the window. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Shabalala. Quickly, before I give you, Minister, and the team, one of my points have been just covered by Honorable Shabalala, but I just want to check, man, this 2.7 billion, which is part of the 10.5 billion that the presenter referred to. What is holding it? Is it us as Parliament? And if it's us as Parliament, can I check with Minister what is the status of that process to fast track that, you know, so that because the more mango is camped there at the airport not operating, grounded there, the bigger the challenge, in the sense that, of course, business opportunists will exploit that space and will end up, when Mango comes back, experience those particular challenges. Secondly, linked to the question that was raised by Honorable Shabalala in relation to the fact that now we are starting in a new slate. We are being born again as the SAA. We've got a new SAA, which I believe we won't have those serious challenges we had in relation to liabilities that we end up being unable to service them on monthly basis, including the bloated staff and so on. To what extent is the new coming airline considers all those problems so that we don't find ourselves in the same corner we find ourselves in previously. Secondly, when exactly the new airline is taking off? I'm not saying necessarily a date, but perhaps approximately when in July, in August, when approximately we think that by that time we'll be flying SAA. And in doing that, what are other preparations in terms of policies that we will, I mean, those that are our experience that we learn from, including the problems of SAA having to be grounded on a daily basis, you know, and end up grounded forever. What are the mechanisms now that we came up to prevent such occurrence not to take place again in the new airline? What would be the status of the SAA Voyagers carriers in relation to this? Meaning that people who have, this is a question I'm getting from people who are using SAA, including members of parliament who have been having gold, premium and all those. What are their status in relation? Because my understanding is that you acquire Voyagers according to your travels. Now there's been a lull for quite a number of, or more than a year. And then what will be the status now? It will be that mean people will start from A and the, what will be the status of those people? That's my clarity around that. My last point is the space of SAA, which we occupied in all airports. Is it still the property of SAA? Are we still going to be occupying? Because every time I get to airports, I look at those spaces as to who is there. And it's unavoidable as a person who is chairing a public enterprise not to be concerned about those. Is those properties are still belong to SAA? And is it mean that people will still utilize the lounges of SAA? People will also go to the terminals of SAA to check in and all that. Is that still guaranteed at the airport? Or perhaps is that belong to AXA? AXA will decide what to have already decided about that space and so on. Can I get those? And I understand that we do have offices in most of these buildings. Thank you. Minister, it's your turn and the acting DG.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you very much for the exhaustive questions that you've asked, and let's see how we can help you to get the information that you require. But perhaps as a start, we should just refresh our memories on a few things. The first is that FAA went into business rescue in December 2019, and as we have said to you on many occasions and to other committees in Parliament, this business rescue process took an extraordinarily long time and was obviously accompanied by the fees, which we don't have the final number yet, but as soon as we have it, we will provide it to you. But it's well over probably 220 million rands. And some of it goes to the practitioners, some of it, perhaps a larger percentage of it, goes to lawyers and other consultants that were actually brought into the process. The business was finally exited from business rescue on the 30th of April on the basis that it is a solvent business. But of course, there was nothing operating at that particular point in time. And clearly, one of the fault lines in the business rescue process is that apart from the repatriation flights that we saw in the middle of last year, bringing South Africans back and bringing NP protective equipment and the one vaccine trip that a lot of questions have been asked about. The opportunities on the cargo side, which were abundant, were not actually utilized when the airline was under a business rescue. And the key point, as you know, Chairperson and honorable members, around business rescue is that the business is under the total control of the business rescue practitioners. Neither the board nor the shareholder nor the management, unless told otherwise, has any influence over the manner in which the business rescue practitioners choose to operate whatever business they are operating. And in that sense, it did have implications for the subsidiaries and the connection between the airline and the subsidiaries, as pointed out in slide 5, actually emerges from that relationship. The second trajectory for us to follow is the SEP one. And here you will recall that there were various expressions of interest. Some honorable members made reference to them. Initially, some 30-odd expressions of interest, either in SAA as a group or for a part of SAA, either the cargo business or one other part of the business. And we then appointed, just to refresh ourselves, a transaction advisor that screened each of these expressions of interest, because you often, in these sorts of situations, have people who express interest but have no money to back up their interest. And that screening process narrowed down the 30 into about 5. The new interim board had an opportunity to interact with the shortlist earlier this year, and that shortlist then began to narrow down even further, not only because of our choices, because where there were airlines or airline groups involved as part of the expressions of interest, they themselves were impacted by the extent to which the pandemic prolonged itself. So we all now know there was not only one wave in the pandemic, there's a second. We're now going through parts of South Africa into a third wave. Even countries like the UK that had a lot of vaccines available to them are also experiencing what some scientists say is the beginnings of a third wave. And there's very little knowledge at the moment about the extent of safety from the vaccination process. In other words, how long it will last. But also, the longer the pandemic lasts, as you all know, the risk of a variant, a new types of variants, becomes greater. And you can see that in the more recent news that we've had from Vietnam. So the SEP process is now in its, let's call it, last leg. And the way in which the last leg operates, which Mr. Makobe can elaborate on if he wishes to, is that there's an agreement in principle, if you like, that there's a possibility of a partnership. Then there's the process through which those of you that have had exposure to commercial transactions will know a process of due diligence takes place, both by government into those who are interested and by those who are interested into SAA itself. That process can take anything up to 6 to 8 weeks, and that process has started. And once it is concluded, what is called a sale and purchase agreement is entered into, and that then finalizes whatever it is that we come to as an arrangement. Within that process, what we have to do, and some colleagues or honorable members asked this question, we've got to ensure that we secure certain rights. For example, where will the domicile of the airline be? What are some of the routes that we'd like to travel? The brand of the airline, et cetera, et cetera. And part of those discussions, Chairperson, will also be the future of White Voyager and the manner in which that is resolved. And across the world, I'm told, there are different options for loyalty programs as compared to the Voyager model that we currently have with SAA, which I'm told is now a bit aged. So that's the SEP process. The third leg of the reminder is you'll recall that when this process started of business rescue, we said very clearly that the total cost will be $14 billion, of which 10.5 is acquired immediately, and it took a long time to get the 10.5. And by the time the appropriation was going to take place, the 10.5 itself was split between the 2.7 that's required for restructuring of the subsidiaries, which has taken an extraordinary amount of time. And that indeed, Chairperson, does it in the parliamentary process in the form of the Special Appropriation Bill, which should be processed later this week by yourselves. And we can then account for the remainder of the 7.8. The additional amount, as the slides have already indicated to you, amounts due over the next 2 or 3 years in order to pay out the lessors. And that was the deal, if you can call it that, that the business rescue practitioners reached with the lessors of aircraft to SAA. So I think it was Honorable Piri who asked the question, are we leasing aircraft? Are we buying aircraft? Well, in the future, we'll have to see what the new SAA sees as the most feasible, but also it will depend on what kind of cash is actually available. Which brings me to my last general point, which is that we said that the outcome of the business rescue process would be a new airline, which is financially viable and which is not dependent on the fiscus. And so throughout this process, we've made it very clear to ourselves and to others, including various parliamentary structures, that SAA will not be expecting, nor should it actually request any further money from government itself. So whoever the SEP partner is, or if you like, the SEP partner comes in with the new cash to operate the new airline, and government takes the responsibility in terms of the 10.5 plus the remainder that takes us to 14 to clean up, inverted commas, the airline and the historic costs of the airline. So that's the grand bargain, if you like, that we have actually entered into. So against that general background, Chair, the issues raised by Honorable Piri, she is actually right that we are beginning to see light at the end of the tunnel. But the question of routes and fleet and so on is partly dependent on what is viable at a particular point in time, but also, as many honorable members have pointed out, the issuing of licenses to what appear to be new airlines, left, right, and center, is not a precisely helpful approach in a context where there's a limited market, even domestically in South Africa. So South Africa's open sky policies are in fact going to come home to bite itself at the end of the day, particularly if the pandemic becomes a prolonged one, if opening and closing of borders becomes a semi-permanent feature for the next maybe year or more. And we'll learn a lot from the Northern Hemisphere summer about the relationship between flying between countries once again, and the spread of the infections and perhaps new variants as well. So there will be careful consideration in the new airline of routes, fleet, and what's most cost effective, including, as was raised by Honorable Clark, new IT systems, new platforms, And these are areas that every airline in the world is looking at in order to ensure that they reduce their cost structure. And I think one of the lessons, as the chair was pointing out, that we learned from this experience and the experience of other SOEs as well, that if there is a mismatch between revenue and the cost structure of an entity, then that entity is doomed. That unless we fix the cost structure on the one hand and increase the revenue on the other hand, if there's no so-called bailouts from government, then that entity is not going to be viable financially speaking, let alone commercially speaking. On the question of the ACP and when we can disclose who it is and what the precise arrangements are, clearly this is a commercially sensitive issue. And I know transparency is important, but in a commercial arrangement which involves people from the private sector, it's important that we execute this process as quickly as possible, but also as carefully as possible, so that the final arrangements that are made are consistent with the law, but also financially viable at the end of the day. Mr. Makobe will cover the issue of the various unions, including the pilots, and where we stand in relation to various court applications. On Honorable Kachalia's points, he still seems to premise his comments on this being, SAA being reliant on the fiscus into the future. And we've said clearly that that is not where we're going. As far as fuel prices and so on is concerned, that's the business that the SAA people will get into once they get off the ground. And any premium paid to anybody can ultimately be the death knell of any of the businesses that we're actually talking about. So I think there's a point of concurrence as far as we are concerned on that sort of issues. Losses and how will they be financed? The future business will have to finance its own losses, but also benefit from its own profits at that particular point in time. On the question of routes, I've already answered that. And on the SEP process, I've just given a fair amount of detail on that. On the question of subsidiaries and the impact of the grounding, yes, I think it's Honorable Maotwe, that's very clear. But at the same time, because of the business rescue process and the linkages between SAA and the subsidiaries, and we were told from time to time, you can't touch the subsidiaries, you can't touch the subsidiaries. So there was a lot of inconsistency in the manner in which the business rescue practitioners handled this particular question. But we can't sit here and complain. We've got a serious set of issues on our hands. And what is clear is that FAA Technical has to be restructured in order to get the cost and revenue balance right. Secondly, as we've mentioned before, Technical probably lost about 70 to 80% of its business during the total lockdown, both in terms of international flights coming in, but also domestic flights as well. And that clearly had an impact on the revenue side of the equation. But at the same time, it's a very important entity with a lot of potential for the future. So it will be dealt with on that basis. As far as Air Chefs is concerned, it managed to do some work for a short while, but is pretty much dormant at this point in time, except for one or two things that it is doing. And we'll try and find out where those losses come from in a moment. What will be different? I think you make a valid point, Honorable Maotwe, about restarting before the SEP, restarting with the SEP, and that's the balancing act that we will certainly keep in mind as we go forward. But your line of thinking is absolutely correct. Honorable Clark, I've addressed the issue of START. Vango is in financial difficulties, so there are some decisions to be made in the short term in that regard, but also the crowding in of so many other airlines is creating its own challenges, and the shortage of cash on the one hand, but frankly also the kind of deals that were entered into by the previous management with lessors is a cause of serious concern to us. And there was almost an exploitative relationship between what we have now discovered, the lessors and Mango, which is going to cost the Mango situation quite heavily. Skylink, who are the owners, I don't know. The pilot issue, Mr. Makobe will give you an update on that. SAA and cargo, we still see that as a very important line of business, but we'll see what emerges from the discussions with the SEP partners in that regard. And as I said, the final costs of the BRPs will be provided, and those amounts are going to be audited as well. So we will make sure that we have a full understanding of what really happened and how that money was actually spent. Honorable Malinga also raises the issue of the subsidiaries, which I've covered before. And she's correct that we should look into understanding the dynamics of the business rescue process and the practitioners, and what are the lessons to be drawn. And in particular, if there's been any neglectful conduct by the business rescue practitioners themselves. On the question of all MPs using SAA into the future, that's for you to decide as members of parliament, so let me not get into that. Then Honorable Shabalala, on the SEP question, I've addressed that already, but what is important is that in any arrangement or partnership of the sort that we are getting into, we try to do the best in terms of securing certain, let's call them sovereign rights, and there are many examples around the world in terms of golden shares and golden agreements, and which will protect, as I said earlier on, brands and other areas that we think is in the national interest to actually protect. And that is receiving attention at the moment. And the point on profit versus social responsibility is an important one, but I think we need to also recognize that the new airline will start small, probably, and then grow as the demand grows, but also as opportunities grow as well. So it's going to require the new quality that airlines require in their management teams and leadership teams is the quality of agility, because situations can change very fast, arising from our experience with the pandemic. And as you can see around the world, different airlines are trying to position themselves in different ways in this regard. And part of social responsibility is that balance between livelihoods and lives being protected as well. On the pilots, Mr. Makobe will address that in a moment. And we are looking carefully into how many employees will be retained, how they will be demographically representative. And we now need to look into funding for the social plan. So I think the concept is there, and a number of people have signed on. And that process will receive attention in the coming weeks as well. Did we get value for money out of the business rescue process? Well, I'm not sure, because there are other examples where business rescue was executed in a much more efficient way than we've seen here in the FAA case. So we will, I'm sure, between yourselves and ourselves, find an opportunity to ask the question whether there was value for money and whether it was done as efficiently as it could have been done in the first instance. On the subsidiaries, processes have started, particularly at SART, in terms of restructuring and reorganizing. But we'll try and give you more precise timelines as the business plans become clearer. SA Express, Mr. Makobe will update you on that as well. Honorable Gumede is absolutely right that this is has been a key learning process for all of us in relation to SOEs and business rescue, SOEs in terms of saving them or shutting them down, the consequences for workers, the consequences for the fiscus, and more work of the sort is being done through the Presidential SOE Council as well. And when that work is completed, I'm sure the President will report to yourselves in Parliament and to the public at large in terms of where we're going. But quite clearly, the current situation for many SOEs is not a tenable one. He's also, the Honourable Member is also right about avoiding liquidation. And as you know, liquidation means a really bad deal for employees in particular, and even in some instances for businesses as well, where you could get 0 cents in the round versus this at least 5 or 10 cents in the round where it is appropriate and possible to actually do that. So the welfare of employees and workers is not unimportant in this equation, particularly given the high levels of unemployment in South Africa and the kind of impact, as yesterday's numbers showed, on the general employment situation of the pandemic and other factors as well. The remuneration for the acting CEO and so on actually comes from the current operating costs, and that is what we are also trying to minimize at the moment so that it doesn't become a burdensome exercise until the SEP process is completed. On the COVID strategy, I think the key element here is agility, and a number of the airlines have shown remarkable agility in this regard, both in terms of the gauge sizes of the aircraft that they have and seizing opportunities where others fail, and what the chairperson called commercial opportunism in the process as well. But I suppose that's very much part of the business ethic that you'll find in this sector and in other sectors as well. On the question, I think the last point that Honorable Gumede made was around the SEP and financial strategy. I've indicated to you in broad terms what the objectives would be, which is that the airline must be a self-sustaining airline. At the end of the day, there will not be any demand on the fiscus by the new airline. And therefore, I think we must manage our expectations in terms of how quickly what can be done. And the ramping up process is also something that you can plan, but the predictions are not going to be very accurate in a pandemic or post-pandemic world. Then finally, to the point that you've made, Chairperson, I've addressed your first issue about the special appropriation bill. You are absolutely right that the so-called born-again SAA should not repeat the old mistakes, and I've given some indications of how that might be possible. When exactly do we take off? Closer to August, it would appear, at this point in time. Although we are doing our best to fast-track the due diligence processes with the SEP and vice versa. And on Voyager, we'll have to come back to you. It's part of the overall discussions that are currently taking place. And some of the property that you see at the airport is SAA property, particularly as far as hangars and so on are concerned. But as far as office space is concerned, I think that office space is actually leased and rented from AXA, because AXA is the landlord. So with your permission, Chairperson, Can we ask Mr. Makobe to come in and fill in the rest? And if need be, I will then conclude. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. I will address just four issues. On the utilization of the finance, as I indicated, 7.8 billion was transferred to SAA. The 3.4 billion was utilized, as I indicated, for VSPs and salaries, PCF creditors, and unfrown liability. Now, the 4.4 billion is in SAA's account and will be utilized for the working capital to pay the pilots' voluntary severance packages. As that matter has not been finalized, I'll give a report just now on where that process is, and also to cover for a further unflown ticket liability. With regard to the pilots, FAA is currently in negotiations with the pilots to resolve the issues of the VSPs. The amount of the voluntary severance packages have been agreed on, but what is outstanding is the further demands that the pilots have made for the cancellation of the regulating agreement, and that they want to be paid for the 3 months that they have been locked out. So that's the only issue of contention. And once that issue is finalized, then the VSPs can be paid to the pilots and they can exit the system. With regard to the cases that are before the courts, FAA is taking the issue of the regulating agreement to the labor court to terminate it. So if there is no agreement in the negotiations with the pilots, the court process will take its course. Now, with regard to the ashes, the question has been asked, what are the losses? Where are the losses coming from? They are mainly from the salary bill because there is no income generated. So that's where the losses of ashes comes from. With regard to SA Express, the court has extended the date for the final liquidation to 29th of July, 2021, but the buyer is still seeking finance to purchase and SA Express. So that process is still continuing. SA Express is not finally liquidated, and we're hopeful that the buyer will source the funding so that it is not under final liquidation. And Chair, I like the analogy of the born again SAA. And indeed, the born again SAA will take to the skies soon. Thank you, Minister.
I assume that the responses has been done. Minister, you don't have anything to add, I assume.
No, Chair. Just to say that Mr. Makobe is a pastor, so he likes the born again concept.
Okay. So thank you, Minister. Thank you, Acting DG. And honorable members, I think we have to go to the next point. We exhausted this one. We felt it was necessary to get this update. Now, let's go to the minutes. Mr. Musumi?
Can we be excused, Jefferson?
Yes, of course, Minister, you are excused with your team.
Thank you very much.
PG and his team and everybody. We only left with the members of parliament now. Okay. Mr. Musumi.
Yes, Chair.
I think we're supposed to be dealing with the minutes now.
Yes, Chair. I'm going to flight them just now. Right. Those are minutes of last week, the 26th of May, 2021. Briefing by Alex Koh on the annual report and financial statements for 2019-2020. Those are members who were present in the meeting.
Sorry, Mr. Mutsu. Are you load shedding there? Yeah? Because it's been trying to load, it's not showing in the screen, and my worry is that you started speaking. That's why I was checking if there is a load shedding there. Mushumi.
We feel the load shedding now, Che. It's haunting us.
Yeah.
Recording stopped.
Mushumi. Dizam. I think we lost the secretary. Honorable members, is calling me. Tisang. Yeah, honorable members, Mr. Mutsumi is experiencing technical problems, both with his gadget. Can we perhaps assume that all members do have, I just want to get that indication, do have the copy of the minutes at his or her disposal? Is it not so, honorable members? I will assume that silent means consent. Therefore, if that is
we are checking, Chair, we are checking.
Yeah, they were sent, the honorable Kachalian. It says that I'm not technologically educated to help to flight it from my side.
We do have them, Chair.
Okay. I just want to check more members to have access to them.
Yes, Chair, we have.
Piri, number two. Mawatu. Kachalia.
I am checking on my iPad. I'm trying to locate it. I'm going through for the moment. I'll find it.
Okay. Where is other members? Members are just getting out of the system. Honorable Mawoto, are you back?
I think there are big load shedding problems across the country.
Yes, I understand.
I'm battling with load shedding, Chair, but I'm back.
Yes, I understand. What you are busy doing, we are trying to get the minutes of the previous meeting. Are you back, Tisang?
Back on the person.
Are you in a position to reflect the minutes?
I will try again.
Okay. That's it.
Yes, I was still here. I was still there on opening and welcome.
Okay.
And the apologies. Number two is the Alex co-presentation, which was preceded by the input by the Deputy Minister, Poale. And then the presentation also from Noom. Which has been summarized there, and then deliberations.
on number 4, issues that were raised by the committee, and then what the committee resolved on.
Okay. Okay, I think the members have have seen on the screen, while also I have the copies at their disposal. Can we get somebody to...
Okay, Chair.
Can you get somebody to propose adoption of the minutes of that, the date? Can you help us with the date?
Recording in progress.
May 21.
Come again.
26 May 2021.
26 May 2021. Honorable members.
Yeah, Chair Dlamini moves for the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Dlamini. Honorable Dlamini moves for the adoption. Any seconder?
I second, Chair,
Honorable,
for the adoption of the minutes.
Honorable Pierre seconded.
Chair,
thank you,
I'm seconded.
Okay. There is an extra secondment. Thank you, Honorable Kumede. Honorable members, that is the end of our business today. We thank you, everybody, all the members. We understand the load shedding challenge that has been haunting members from the beginning until the end. On behalf of this committee, we apologize to those members. Thank you to the members of staff who have assisted us, including the members, the team from SAA led by the minister and the department. We really appreciate that. The meetings tend to be a trend. Thank you so much.